Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Hi, this is Paul Chappell, and I want to introduce you to Striving Together Publications, the publications ministry of Lancaster Baptist Church and West Coast Baptist College. Our desire is to strive together for the faith of the gospel with you and other like-minded Christians as we provide sound biblical resources for your spiritual growth. At strivingtogether.com, you will find a growing collection of outstanding books, Sunday school curriculum for all ages, conservative Christian music, outreach and discipleship resources, and many other tools for your personal and spiritual growth. You'll also find a variety of tools for your local church ministry. Be sure to visit strivingtogether.com and let us know how we can help you and your church grow in God's grace.
Have you noticed that times are changing? Well, believe it or not, the Bible has a lot to say about changing times. Next on Daily in the Word with Paul Chappell, we have an all-new series entitled Times Are Changing. We're going to discover what the Bible has to say about what's happening in our world today. Stay with us. When it comes to predicting the future, the Bible is 100% accurate. Friend, let that sink in for a moment. 100% accurate. It's never been wrong. It never will be wrong because it's the Word of God. And when it comes to today's headlines and the economic and political unfoldings of our day, the Bible is 100% accurate as to the meaning and the direction of these events. It's amazing that God, thousands of years ago, gave us an unfolding description of what's happening before our very eyes on the world scene. Times are changing. That's the topic of this series. It's an all-new series preached recently at Lancaster Baptist Church with Dr. Paul Chappell. Pastor Chappell is the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and the president and founder of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. And this program comes to you every Monday through Friday on this station. And we look forward to this series, Times Are Changing. If you'd like to subscribe to the daily podcast, you can take Daily in the Word with you and listen to it on your computer or iPod. You can also subscribe to a daily devotional from Dr. Chappell. All of this and much more when you visit us online at dailyintheword.org. Again, that's dailyintheword.org. Today we begin our series in 1 and 2 Peter, and we're going to discover the nature of Bible prophecy, somewhat of an introductory message and an overview of what Bible prophecy is really all about. Here's Pastor Paul Chappell.
Bible prophecy is God's history yet to come. And I want you to see this verse in Isaiah 46 and verse 9, where God explains His prophecies to us. Isaiah 46, verse 9. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. And I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, My counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man that executeth my counsel from a far country. Yea, I have spoken it, I will also bring it to pass, I have purposed it, I will also do it. Now this makes it very clear that what God has ordained will happen, and that He will give us an accurate forecast concerning what is to yet take place. And so as we come to the Word of God, we focus generally on God's history yet to come. But there's a very specific focus in the Bible, and specifically with prophecy, and that, of course, is the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Titus chapter 2 and verse 13 says, Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, in the weeks to come, we're going to learn the difference between the rapture of the church and the second coming of Jesus Christ. Nevertheless, we must recognize this morning that the Scriptures point us as believers to a time where we can hope for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ to bring us home to be with Him, to meet Him in the air. You'll see the quote in your notes, most evangelical Christians hold to the dispensational premillennial view of eschatology, which looks forward to the rapture of believers to heaven as the next major prophetic event to be fulfilled. This, they believe, will end the church age and prepare the way for the tribulation. I believe we have a little chart to show this. We'll study this in more depth in the weeks to come. But you see, over on the left side of the chart, the rapture of the church, the catching away of the bride of Christ, mentioned in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 and 17. And this time of the rapture is the great focal point of Christians. The culmination of this age, as we know it, will take place at the second coming of Jesus Christ, when He will finally establish His kingdom, and He will rule and reign literally on this earth. And so the revelation of Bible prophecy really brings us to a focal point of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as we consider the revelation of Bible prophecy, we're going to study the Bible literally and contextually, and we're going to ask the Lord to show us from His Word what takes place in the coming years on this planet. Let's notice, secondly, this morning, the reliability of Bible prophecy. Someone says, all right, I get it so far. We have a more sure word of prophecy. And in the next several weeks, we're going to study these verses literally and contextually, realizing God knows the beginning from the ending, realizing that we're looking for the coming of Jesus Christ. But really, how reliable is all of this? I mean, what's different from this study and maybe some of the other voices you mentioned a moment ago? Well, let me just tell you this morning a few of the reasons why we need to stay tuned to the Word of God. First of all, because of the fulfilled prophecies of the past. The fulfilled prophecies of the past. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10, the Bible says, "Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow." Now, in the Old Testament, there are about 120 prophecies concerning the coming of Jesus Christ the first time. And these were prophecies speaking of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. The accurate fulfillment of those 120 prophecies points to the certainty of the 300 prophecies of Christ's second coming, and the fact that those 300 prophecies will be fulfilled. And so one of the reasons that we believe the Word of God to be the reliable, infallible Word of God is because of the fulfilled prophecy that we have already seen fulfilled. And look at some of that in the chart in your notes. In Genesis 3:15, there was the prophecy of the seed of a woman. What a ridiculous prophecy by man's standard. And yet, in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4, we read that Jesus was born of a woman. And we read, for example, in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, that Jesus would come from the throne of David. And in Luke 1:32, the throne of His father David. In Micah 5:2, we read that Jesus would be born in a specific place. And in Luke 2, we find that that is exactly where He was born, in Bethlehem, the house of bread. In Psalm 41, we read that Jesus would be betrayed by a familiar friend. And in Matthew 26:50, Jesus says to Judas Iscariot, "Friend, why have you come?" In Zechariah 12 and verse 10, we read that the prophet prophesied, "On me whom they pierced," that there would be a piercing death of the Messiah. And in Matthew 27:23, "Let him be crucified." And so the fulfilled prophecies show us the reliability of the Word of God. And then I also believe in the reliability of the Word of God as it speaks to future events, those events yet to come. Based upon the fulfilled prophecy, we look to the future events. Now turn, if you would, to 2 Peter chapter 3 and notice what the Bible says in verse number 2. God has given us His Word concerning future events, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us as the apostles of the Lord and Savior. And many, many scriptures could be listed here concerning future events. But notice 1 Thessalonians 4:16. "For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord." Now, God has given His Word concerning the fact that there is a coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a concluding of this world history as we know it. There's an establishing of His millennial kingdom and of His eternal kingdom. And many, many other things that we're going to study are according to God's Word. And I just simply want to say, by way of introduction, friends, this morning, God will keep His Word. All the prophecies we're going to study are given by the Word of God. And 2 Peter 3:9, this book where Peter is sharing about the more sure word of prophecy, this is what he wrote. The Lord is not slack concerning His promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us. Now let's just stop there for a moment. The Lord is not like men. When the Lord gives a promise, you can take it to the bank. It's going to happen. He's not slack, as some men count slackness. And so the reliability of prophecy is based on this. First of all, the 120 prophecies already fulfilled concerning Jesus Christ, our Savior. And then the fact that He has given us the promises concerning future events, and He has said, I'm not slack concerning my promises. I will keep my promises. I think of one of those promises this morning in John chapter 14, where Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I prepare a place for you, I will, what does He say next? Come again. I will come again, that where I am, there ye may be also. And these are the reliable promises of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, some choose Kabbalah, and some choose the Mayan calendars, and some choose to hear the prophecies concerning the 12th I Am. I choose to believe the word of the Lord Jesus Christ, who said, I will come again. That's the reliability of Bible prophecy based upon the word of God. Now, we've seen the revelation of Bible prophecy this morning. The revelation of Bible prophecy reminds us that God's Word is a more sure word, and that we can understand it literally and contextually. And we've seen the reliability of Bible prophecy. Prophecy is already fulfilled, God giving more promises in the New Testament, which will be filled as well. Now, let's look this morning finally at the responses to Bible prophecy. What are some of the responses that we can expect even in the next 11 weeks to Bible prophecy, and certainly in these latter days? First of all, the first response given in the Scriptures is that some will scoff the idea of the return of Jesus Christ, the idea of a one world government, the idea of a one world monetary system. They will say this is some kind of right wing rhetoric, this is some kind of religious fanaticism. There will be those who scoff at the talk that we will give from the Word of God. Look at what it says in 2 Peter 3:3. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts. The scoffers will mock the truth of the more sure word of prophecy. And Peter was warning these believers not to listen to the scoffers, not to be mindful to the scoffers, but to stay in tune with a more sure word of prophecy that would give them an understanding of the coming night. Secondly, there will be those who will search. There are going to be some people the next 11 weeks who are going to get into these verses. They're going to get into the Word of God. They're going to search out the conclusion of the matter. And this is what Peter was certainly challenging the early Christians to do. Notice what it says in 2 Peter 3 as they were to search the past of the teachings of the Word of God. 2 Peter 3:6, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. But the heavens and the earth which are now by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Now, Peter said the world is being kept for a time of future judgment. But he predicated that statement by mentioning the fact in verse number 6 that there was a time in world history when the world overflowed with water. And he's challenging them with the statement concerning the Noahic flood. And he's reminding them that if God had power to destroy the world with the flood, then God has power to hold judgment until the time in the future. And there will be those who begin to study the Word of God concerning God's judgment, concerning perhaps even the flood, and they'll recognize the truth that remains, that God is preserving now for a time in the future, that this world is kept in store for that time. And I trust that there will be many who will search out the prophecies fulfilled, the prophecies yet to be fulfilled, and consider what God would have their life to look like in light of those prophecies. I heard about a fellow that worked at a service station, and they were at the beginning of a holiday weekend, and there was a long line of cars coming in to get gas. And he noticed at the very end of the line was his pastor, and finally the pastor got up to the end of the line, and the young man went up and he said, "Pastor, I'm sorry for the delay." He said, "It just seems like folks always wait until the last minute to get ready for the trip they're about to go on." The pastor smiled and he said, "I know what you mean. I have the same problem in my business." You know, a lot of people wait till the last minute to get ready. But I want to tell you something. Even as we had a funeral in this auditorium yesterday, this life does not go on forever. And every one of us need to recognize, the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. And every one of us need to prepare for the life that is still to come. And so this will be a great time to search out what the Bible says concerning prophecies fulfilled and prophecies yet unfulfilled. And we need to search out the past. We need to search out the present prophecies. Notice, if you would, in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8, "But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day." You know, there are always those who say, "Yeah, Christians have been saying Jesus would come back for a thousand years and nothing has happened." But you know, God in His wisdom through the Holy Spirit reminds us, it's just been 2 days since Jesus said, "I'll come again." His calendar is very different from our calendar. His is an eternal calendar. And again in verse 9, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promises." And again in verse 10, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up." Some will scoff at these truths, but some will search to see what the Bible really says. And then thirdly, some are going to be strengthened in their faith. Many Christians wonder, what in the world is going on? Times are changing. Whatever happened to patriotism? What about all the globalism? Since when are we saying that the terrorists are the good guys? And why are we having all of these changes in the world today? And many Christians who perhaps have some fear or concern, when you get into the Word of God, the response is that our heart will be strengthened in the fact that God has an unfolding plan. And we're going to learn about that over these next 10 weeks. 2 Peter 3:11 says, "Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness?" In other words, because this earth is going to finally be judged and all of the temporal things of this earth dissolve, since this is temporary, God says, what kind of a person should you be? And I believe as we study prophecy, it's going to be a sober reminder that, you know what? It's time to get serious about our spiritual life. And so much the more as we see the day approaching, the Bible says in Hebrews 10:25. It's not time to study the Bible less and less, but so much the more, the Bible says. 1 John 3 and verse 2 says it this way, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." And many preachers have preached about that coming time when we will be like the Lord Jesus in our glorified bodies, and no more pain, no more sorrow, going through the walls like Jesus did when He appeared to His disciples after His resurrection. We'll be like Him. What a great time that will be when we see the Lord Jesus. But look at verse 3 of 1 John chapter 3. "And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." In other words, if you believe that you're going to see Jesus Christ one day and you have that hope in you, then you will purify yourself. You will prepare yourself for the day that you see the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this will not merely be a study of information, but it will be a time of preparation, preparing our hearts for when we see the Lord Jesus. And then I believe and I pray, fourthly, that some will respond in these upcoming weeks by being saved. I believe there will be some who will receive salvation through Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible says in Matthew 24:37, "But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." And we studied a few weeks ago about that man Noah. We studied the fact that in Noah's day, there were only 8 people saved, and those were members of his own family. And some people would have said that Noah was a failure as a pastor, as a preacher. But how many of you believe that Noah was glad at least his family got saved? Maybe some of you have a family member who's not saved. Maybe some of you have a friend who's not saved, and maybe they need to be invited to these messages so they can hear God's plan for the ages and understand that God does not want them, as we'll see in a few weeks, to be left behind, but that He came and died and rose again so that they also could be caught up in the air. They also could be with the Lord for all of eternity. And you can be guaranteed that we're going to lift up the gospel message in these upcoming weeks and encourage people to trust Christ as their Savior. I like the quote that may be in your notes. While biblical prophecies and their literal fulfillment may fascinate our curiosity and challenge our minds, they are ultimately intended to bring us to a personal point of decision and faith as well, you see. And so let's look at that verse one more time, 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. Remember the one that said, the Lord is not slack concerning His what? In other words, these promises concerning prophecy, these promises concerning salvation, they are promises that you can take to the bank. But notice the rest of it, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, notice this, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to what? Repentance, all right? Now, you say, Pastor Chappell, do you believe in the literal 7-year tribulation coming upon planet Earth? Yes, I do. And do you believe that there will be great bowls of judgment poured out upon this earth? Yes, I do. I believe a great time of judgment is coming. But I believe that God sent Jesus Christ to save us from the wrath that is to come. And I believe that God's will for every man during this age in which we live right now, call it the church age, call it the age of grace, during this age prior to the coming of Jesus Christ, I believe that God's will for every man is to turn to Jesus Christ and be saved. God is not willing that any should perish. God is not willing that any man would suffer and spend all of eternity separated from Him. And He is desirous that men and women, even through this series, would turn from their sinful ways and their false religion and be saved by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Romans 6:23 speaks of when it says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, we're going to learn during these upcoming weeks, you don't find eternal life by studying the Aztec or Mayan calendar. You don't find eternal life through the cults. You don't find eternal life by waiting for the 12th Imam to come and bring some type of peace. You don't wait for some yogi to bring some kind of an avatar into being like the Hindus are waiting. You find eternal life through the finished work of the cross of Calvary of Jesus Christ. And the Bible's very clear. The wages of our sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life, listen, through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so I really do believe that as we study the Word of God, as Christians, there should come an expectancy in our heart. There should be some changes in our life. And even if you're here today without Christ, there ought to be in your heart this thought, what if Jesus came today? Am I ready? Will I spend my eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ? Or will I be left behind?
Well, you've been listening to Pastor Paul Chappell, and he's been teaching and preaching in a series entitled Times Are Changing. We're discovering how accurate Bible prophecy is when looking at today's news headlines, and we're understanding what God has to say about the unfolding of the end of the age. If you'd like to hear this message in its entirety or any of the recent broadcasts, if you'd like to get this entire series, visit us at dailyintheword.org. Online, you can listen to recent broadcasts. You can also subscribe to the Daily Podcast and download Daily in the Word to your own computer or iPod and take it with you and listen or re-listen to these messages at your own convenience. Would you consider referring a friend to dailyintheword.org? You probably know somebody that doesn't live in an area where this program is broadcast. They might benefit from the Bible teaching and preaching. And when you direct them to dailyintheword.org, they can listen to the program and download it to go. And hopefully the teaching of God's Word will encourage and edify those you love. If you would take time to contact us during the month of January, we would like to give you a gift, our way of saying thank you for listening, but also thank you for letting us know that our program is touching your life. This is a small book written by Pastor Chapel entitled All Things Through Christ, the 10 most important words in the life of a believer. I can do all things through Christ. What a great truth. This little booklet will encourage you. It will challenge you in your life to live your life fully dependent upon the power and the presence of Christ in each and every circumstance. It's our gift to you this month when you call or write to us, and we're easy to contact, toll free. That number is 1-800-201-7748. Once again, 1-800-201-7748. You can also visit us online at dailyintheword.org and click on the email link. Let us know that our program is touching your life and how this ministry has impacted you. If you'd like to send a letter via mail, you can address your letter to Daily in the Word, 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Once again, that's Daily in the Word, 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Thanks so much for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word. Until next time, have a great day.